Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't matter what we're going through right now. Amen. He is still God on the throne. Amen. We just have to allow him to be God. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful tonight, brother, sister. It's such a privilege, amen, to have the name of Christian. Amen. Because he is the mighty one, the beautiful one. He is the magnificent one. Amen. That name, as we read it this morning, that is the name above all names. The name where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen. And I'm so happy to be part of his family. Amen. Amen. I'm so happy to have him as a friend. I'm so happy to have him as my father. Amen. Can you say amen to that tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, thank you, musicians. You can be seated for a moment. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming back tonight. Amen. So thankful. Amen. For each one. And thankful for God's mercy and grace to us. Amen. Amen. You know, tomorrow, we're going to walk through these doors tonight. And, I was reading something this week where somebody was talking about sort of rhythms and patterns of life. And, you know, they said that there were certain things. They were talking about how as a kid that they would watch certain TV shows, you know, back in the days when it was, they were only on certain times of the week, and they would watch, I think it was a Disney thing or something, every Sunday night, right? And they knew that when they watched that, when they were done watching that TV show, that it was time to go to bed, and that was kind of like the start of a new week, right? In their minds, they were making that shift. Brothers and sisters, that's kind of like what this service is tonight, that actually Sunday's the first day of the week, but we start our week of work or our week of school or whatever we're doing. This is our kickoff into our week. Amen. And so that's why, you know, one of the many reasons why it's so important to come to church. And Sunday night, you know, it's my favorite service of the week. I don't know about you. It's all right, I think, to have favorites. Amen. But it's my favorite service of the week because I can just, you know, Lord, I've got a battle on my hands tomorrow. I know it. Monday morning's coming. Amen. And we've got an enemy to fight. But he's given us something to fight with. And he's promised us a victory. But we've got to do our part. And so, amen. That's why I like to come to church Sunday night. Because I want to get filled up. Amen. I want to get everything that I can get. I want to get overflowing. Amen. Like the song says, I want to be drinking from my saucer. Amen. Amen. Not just from my cup. My cup is so overflowing that I'm drinking from my saucer. Because I want all of the power and the anointing and everything that God can give me. Because I know that enemy is going to be waiting for me when I walk out that door tonight. Amen. And tomorrow morning, he's going to be right there. Amen. That's one thing about our enemy, brother, sister. He is a worthy adversary. But he is also a defeated foe. Amen. And he's nothing but a bluff. Amen. But we've got to call him on it. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, we're just going to finish off this little subject that we've been on, but from a completely different angle tonight. So we've been talking about how Satan has stolen worship from God. And we see it all around us. Amen. But tonight I want to ask the question, what has he stolen from you? Amen. What has he stolen from you? So let's start in the scripture in John chapter 10. Verse 1. And let's stand for the reading of the word tonight. Brother, sister, if nothing else tonight, I hope that you walk out these doors more in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. He's worth loving. Yes. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Brother Branham said that when you're born again, you're sealed away. Your soul is sealed so far that the only way that Satan could get to you is if he was born again too. But he won't enter in through the door of the sheepfold. He tries to come some other way. He would have to get born again to come that way. Is that right? But he says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Oh, I love that. Amen? He leads me into green pastures. Amen. He doesn't just point them out and say, go ahead, there they are, go get them yourself. No, he takes me there. Yeah. Amen. He putteth forth his own sheep. He goes before them. Right. And the sheep follow him. Amen. They don't stray or they get into trouble. And he has to go after them like the one that was lost, right? He says, for they know his voice. Hallelujah. And a stranger will they not follow. But they will flee from him. Who? The stranger. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. That typifies the good things of the kingdom of God. Amen. The pasture, amen? It's a place of peace. It's a place of rest. It's a place of health and strength. It's a place where we can feed and be nurtured and nourished. Amen? They shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we love you so much tonight, Lord. Where would we be without you, Lord? We would just be a shipwreck, Lord, on the shores of life, Lord. Being driven, Lord, by the winds to and fro. But Father, you are a strong and mighty tower. Lord, you are a mighty fortress, Lord, that we can run into and be safe. Lord Jesus, we love you so much tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word as it goes forth, Lord. Lord, and tonight, as we lay down a challenge to the enemy, I pray that you would come and move on your word, Lord. Lord, and defeat every foe in this building tonight. According to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we've been looking at how Satan steals what rightfully belongs to God. And now we're going to look at how he steals what rightfully belongs to the children of God. This is because he cannot create. He cannot make something new. The only thing he can do is pervert what God has already done. Or to steal something that God has already provided. He is a thief, a robber, and a perverter. He can only gain by taking something that does not belong to him. And that's what he attempts to do with the children of God. Jesus identifies him here in this parable as a thief and a robber. Amen. You might look at that and you say, well, that's the same thing. That's what I thought too, till I looked into it. A thief is someone who comes stealthily. A robber is someone who, the definition would be like a plunderer. Someone who just attacks and takes what they want. They don't try and be sneaky about it. They just come in and fight and take what they want. That's a robber. But a thief is much more sneaky. In fact, the definition of that word there is actually an embezzler. And if you know what it means to embezzle, it means when someone has someone else's trust and they abuse that trust. It's an embezzler, and that name in the scripture, that word, is actually conferred to false teachers. False teachers who do not care of the trust that's been given them, but for their own gain, abuse that trust. And if, brother, sister, if there is any false teacher, Satan is the king of them. He's an embezzler. He had a position in heaven, and he abused that position to steal from God. And he abuses and uses false doctrines and false teachers to steal from the children of God by stealth and subtlety. Now we know, you know, that the sheep in the parable, that's referring to you and I. Amen? Amen. We need to be led. Right. We are not capable of leading ourselves. But we have a quality. We may not be able to lead ourselves, but God has given us a quality to know His voice. Amen. Amen. Others wonder, why are you following that one? And it's because we know His voice. Those that don't hear His voice can't understand it. But this is something that God has given to His children. To know His voice above all other voices. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Brother, sister, you should rejoice. If you can hear the voice of Christ, if you can hear His voice, that means that's a sign. That's a sign that you have a position. And if you have a position, you have a possession. Amen. And brother, sister, the enemy, the thief, is trying to take your possession. This is why the Holy Spirit was given. This is why God gives us ministering gifts. It's not the men, it's the Holy Spirit that use those gifts, that use men, that use different ones to rightly divide the voices. Amen. But no matter how much a preacher could preach, it takes someone on the other side to receive that voice. Amen. All the voices in the land are vying for your attention. Amen. There may be voices in your life, voices in your body, lying vanities that are vying for your attention, that want you to listen to them. But the sheep will only hear His voice, and another they will not follow. Amen. Hallelujah. I take such comfort in that tonight, brother, sister. Amen. A stranger they will not follow. They have something in them that helps them discern the spirits. Amen. They have a discernment. Not the gift of discernment, but they have an ability to discern the voice of the shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So this thief, being sneaky by nature, attempts to lead the sheep by a different voice. And the way he does that many times is pretending to be the shepherd. Amen. He tries to mimic the voice of the shepherd. He tries to make it so close. Many times changing only one word. Amen. He tries to bring it so close. In fact, the Bible says it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. The reason it's not possible is because they only hear the shepherd's voice. So he may pretend to be the shepherd, or he may claim to be speaking on behalf of the shepherd. And he uses men many times to do that. Or he uses lying spirits to plant thoughts in your head. He plants voices and thoughts and influences, claiming to have the authority of the shepherd. He says things like, God wants you to have that sickness. God wants you to be miserable. Amen? He says things like, well, your kids just have to go out and experience the world for a while before they come back. That's a lie. Amen. That's someone trying to impersonate the shepherd. All manner of false ideas purporting to come from God. Amen? But brother, sister, the sheep are the possessors of the pasture. The pasture is theirs. Green pasture with good water. Amen? I'm so thankful for that tonight. They have trials in their life, but they have overcoming power. And all spiritual blessings. Read Ephesians 1:3 with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with how many?
All
spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. He doesn't leave anything out. He just goes right for it. Let's just use that word, all. Amen. That way we could start naming them off. But Paul just, let's just say it from the beginning. All spiritual blessings. Amen. And the thief comes to steal what rightfully belongs to you. Amen. If there is a spiritual blessing, brother, sister, it's yours tonight.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. It's your possession. Amen. Now, we are heirs of a promise as we are the children of Abraham by faith. Is that right? Abraham was the father of the faith. We are not the natural seed of Abraham, but we are the spiritual seed in line to his promises. Is that right? So Abraham was promised this vast land. Amen. And but while he had that promise, he was out in the wilderness, and didn't look like, you know, much, right? He's out wandering around, being led of God, and he was promised a family, and he was promised an inheritance, and then something happens, and Lot is taken captive. Now, Lot was not part of that inheritance. Right? Lot was not part of the call of Abraham. But yet he was part of Abraham's family. Amen. He was not called an elect. Abraham was elect, but Lot was part of Abraham's family. And when the robbers came and took Lot, Abraham went after him. He claimed him as his own possession. Amen. He couldn't claim him to be elect. He couldn't make him elect. But he could save him. When the robber came in and stole him, he was willing to pursue by faith an enemy that was much stronger than him and take back what belonged to him. Freedom for his family. Amen. This is from the message, Possessing All Things. He says, who would have thought that little poor old man up there, he's talking about Abraham, them little old skinny bony cattle up on top of the hill, owned it all. Amen. In other words, he didn't look like much, but he owned it all. Amen. All of Palestine belonged to him. Yes, sir. So when he come to a place that the showdown come, God proved to be with him. Brother, sister, we might not look like much. We may not look important. Amen. But we are possessors of all heaven and earth, all spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. And brother, sister, when the showdown comes, God is going to prove that he's with you. He took that little handful of men. He went out there and slaughtered every one of them and brought back his possession. Amen. I like that. Why? He laid his faith on God's rock promise. Amen. I like how he likens God's promise to a rock. Amen. It's solid. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. It's there. That's what it takes. He says it didn't build another foundation, go join an organization or get something like this. He laid his faith upon that promise. Amen. That's it, on that promise. And there he marched forward. But we let the enemy talk us out of marching forward. Amen. He's afraid that you will march forward with the promise. You know that tonight? He's doing everything he can to keep you from stepping out on faith. Because he knows that that's when he's defeated. He's trying to steal that opportunity from you. He says, they marched forward, rusty sword or not rusty sword. It made no difference to him. He had his faith laying on the promise. In other words, he wasn't trusting in his own ability. When you come forth to be prayed for, if you want salvation, if you want divine healing, no matter what, if you are a believer, you're an heir of how many promises? Every promise. So lay your faith upon the promise and march forward and tell Satan, give it back. Give it back. It's mine. You wouldn't put up with somebody coming in your home and taking your things. Why do we put up with Satan coming and taking our promises and our blessings from us? He says, don't let him bluff you. Stand right there on the line. He'll give it back. God said he would, so he has to do it. That's your authority. That's right, heir of all things. Amen. Hallelujah. So it was after this great victory, this battle that Abraham won, that Melchizedek comes and makes him more promises. Amen. Now look at this. This is the same message. Paragraph 82, he says, now we find out that he met him, and after the promise had been vindicated, how was it vindicated? God came on the scene, amen, and made good on it. That promise had been vindicated. He had fellowship. Melchizedek come out to bless Abraham, and he said, blessed be Abraham, and blessed be the God of Abraham, the possessor of heaven and earth. Let me stop here for a moment. Understand that this is God fellowshipping with Abraham. Yeah, after a victory, they're having a victory party. Amen. Amen. Oh. You see, the enemy has tried to convince us so much that, oh, you know, why are you bothering God for this? And why are you, you're always asking, you're always, God wants you to do that. God wants you to fight back against the enemy. God wants you to win some victories. Amen. After Abraham won this victory, he came and had a little victory fellowship with him. Look what he says. Blessed be the God of Abraham, the possessor of heaven and earth. Oh my, how I like that. Believer's promise. You say, what's that got to do with us? To every believer. Yeah. If you're a believer tonight, raise your hand. Yeah. This is your promise. The believer's promise is eternal life. The believer's promise is, you ready? Life, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, fruits of the Spirit, divine healing, and a dozen other things I got wrote down here nearly. He could have listed them off. That would have been okay with me. He says, that is your possession. It belongs to you. But you cannot have it until you fight for it. It's yours. Everything that's seen. Now, this sounds fanatical, brother, sister. Only a believer can receive this. Everything that's seen, every temporal thing that's seen belongs to me. Are you a child of the God of heaven and earth, or aren't you? What does it mean to be joint heirs with Christ? I think everything belongs to Him, don't you? And if we're joint heirs, doesn't that mean it belongs to us? He says, God, give it to me because through Christ, He gave it to me. And things unseen belongs to me. Amen. I like that. What you can see, like divine healing and so forth, like that, that's good. We appreciate that, but also the unseen. Amen. Authority over the unseen. Hallelujah. So He promised, brother, sister, that you tonight, you right now possess life. That's your possession. That's your birthright. That's your inheritance. Life and joy. Amen. You possess joy tonight. If you're not experiencing joy, it's yours. You've got to go take it. You cannot have it until you fight for it. Sometimes it just comes, but sometimes there's a little fight involved. But brother, sister, it's yours tonight for the taking. It's available to you tonight to have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's yours tonight. It's available for you to have peace tonight. If you've been fearful or worried or fretting or overcome by just the trials of life, there can be peace in your life tonight. You can have it right now because it already belongs to you. You've just got to take it by faith. You've got to come against that enemy and confess what God has already spoken. You've got to tell that liar to back up. You've got to send that thief packing and take it back from him. What has he stolen from you? Is it patience? Amen? Is it gentleness? Do you find yourself just being a little bit short, tempered? What do you need tonight? What is he taking from you? Is it your health? Do you need divine healing? It's yours tonight. All must be possessed by a fight because the thief has stolen all of those things from mankind at Eden. But Christ has purchased it back for us. Amen. Through redemption of the cross, we now have a right to all of those things. It's not based on our merits, brother, sister. He has done it for us. But possessing it takes a fight sometimes. Amen. King David was out one time fighting against the Philistines. And while he was out on the battleground, the Bible tells us that the Amalekites slipped in. Amen? they came in like thieves. And they stole his family and his possessions. Now, David didn't just say, well, you know, that's all right, you know. I guess it wasn't really meant for me to have those things. He didn't say that. He didn't throw a pity party. Right. Amen. He didn't sit around and feel sorry for himself. Oh, why do these things always happen to me? Here I am out doing, you know, fighting the battle, and this is the thanks I get. He didn't complain about it. He recognized and he knew that he was in a battle, that he was a warrior made for a war. And he said, if you're going to take what belongs to me, I'm going to come back and take it back from you. Because God gave me those things. God gave him those, that family. That was his rightful possession. And he wasn't going to back down to a bunch of Amalekites. He knew that he was anointed of the Lord. Amen? You've got to know that you are anointed of the Lord tonight. You have been anointed to tear Satan's kingdom down in this hour. All of those things that we've been talking about, how Satan has been building up this kingdom, we are anointed to tear that down. We are anointed to assault the gates of hell. Amen. We are anointed to defeat that foe. David was anointed of the Lord. And he went on the offensive because he knew that that thief had taken what belonged to him. He wasn't going after something that wasn't his. He was going after something that belonged to him. So many times, that's the attitude that we have towards these promises. Well, we don't have a revelation sometimes that it's our property. That, oh, it would be a nice thing. Oh, it would be such a neat, cool thing if God would give us this. No, it's yours. The only thing keeping you from it is the enemy. It doesn't belong to him. So David went after his family members. And he retrieved them by the power of God. This is the token message. Paragraph 362, Brother Branham says, believe for safety. And then apply. See, believe. Here's what you want to believe for. See, you want your own safety. You believe for your safety, then apply the token for the whole family. See? You say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen? Amen, he says. See? See, it works for both of you. If you and the Word are one, then apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones. Right? Don't let the devil just take them. That's what he's saying. Fight against it. That's your promise. Amen. Like Abraham, you can't make them elect, but you can make them safe. That's what Brother Brown is saying. Pray for safety. Pray for saving, salvation. Apply it to your loved ones, like Rahab did. She applied the token to her father, she applied it to her mother, applied it to her brothers, sisters, and got them all in. You apply it and say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. But sister, this isn't some wishy-washy, oh, I'm just applying the token. This is warfare. This is battle. This is having a revelation of what belongs to you. Understanding your position that the enemy has taken something that doesn't belong to him. He says, you apply it, you go after it. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me. And he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. That's a promise. He'll do it. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to know what belongs to us. And what the enemy is trying to steal. Brother Branham says, continues on in possessing all things. Paragraph 71, he says, if you've never received the Holy Ghost as yet, you don't know nothing about it, and something in your heart telling you that you want it, stay right there. That's eternal life. That's what you're an heir to. Stay right there and look Satan right in the face. Brother, sister, this is the key right here to any promise. Look Satan right in the face and say, you are the robber. You are the one I've come to possess what Jesus Christ died for me to have. Now hand it back. Get out of my way. Then the first thing you know, the Holy Ghost will pour on you. Then something happens. Something will happen. What is it? God vindicated that he keeps his word. Amen. Brother, sister, that goes for every promise that you are a possessor of. Amen. That's exactly, he says. See, after you see the word is vindicated to you that you are saved, you do have the Holy Ghost. Then what? Abraham had won the victory. And here he come marching back. He was going down with his faith, laying on the word that he could bring it back, what he had lost. He was stepping out on faith. Amen? He was taking a chance. So it looked. We know there's no such thing as chance. But it looked like he was stepping out. But he was. He was stepping out by faith. He didn't see it. What he had lost, and here he come back with it, marching the victor's march. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to see some victory marches going on. Amen. In this body. Amen. Amen. We've been allowing that thief to steal too much from us. Amen. We need to see some victor's march going on. Yeah. Brother Branham says that's the same thing you can do. It's for you tonight, if you want it. He says, if you don't have eternal life, ask God. Confess your sins, believe on the Son of God, accept the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and say, God, I come for it, I'm here to receive it. Then you come back, the victor's march, and you got it. Amen. Just shine in my, the birds sing different than everybody. You're in love with everybody then. That old hatred, malice, strife is done, gone. Love everybody. You just have a great time singing, shouting, praising God, and don't care what anybody says about you. That's a victor's march. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, we need some victory. Amen. Amen. And it's promised to us. That's the thing. But we've got to take it. We've got to take it. We've got to possess it. Now, Joshua and Caleb, we know. We know the story. But when they were with the nation of Israel and they were on the verge of going into the land of promise. And remember what the land, what that represents. It's called the land of promise. It is their promise, right? That God made them. That God said, this land belongs to you. And brother, sister, that symbolizes our promises. Amen? Every promise. The whole land is ours. Everything that Christ died for to bring back from the enemy is your land of promise. So they had a promise, but they didn't possess it. Is that right? They had God's promise of ownership. They were the owners. But they didn't possess it. They weren't actually in that land. They didn't actually have their hands on that promise. Right? Ownership without possession. Now look at what Brother Branham says here in Confirmation and Evidence. He says, when a man buys a car, he must have a deed to that car. And though he has not the car sitting in his garage, he has the deed. It's a confirmation to him that he owns the car because he has a deed or a title. And then if we bought a piece of ground, though we have never seen the ground and know nothing about it, yet we have an abstract deed to that ground. It belongs to us, whether we've seen it or not. It still belongs to us. The car belongs to us, whether we have seen it or not. The title is given to us, and we hold it in our possession. We hold the title, right? In our name. That title shows us that we own that car. And the abstract deed tells us that we own the property. Amen. That means that you own it. You might not be sitting in the car. You might not be on the land. You might not have ever seen it, like he said. Now in Hebrews, we're taught again that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, it's substance. It isn't a hope. Most people come with a hope, but faith is substance. It isn't something you're hoping for. When faith has taken a hold, you have a substance, not just a myth. You've got a hold of something and you know it. Nothing shakes you from it. It's yours and you're positive. You have it in your hand. You've got it. It's your possession. Amen. Through faith, we take possession of a promise until it becomes evident in substance. We are the owners of every good and perfect gift. But we need to get an attitude about the thief taking it from us. We wouldn't put up with it, brother, sister. Right? If you own a piece of property and somebody came in and just, you know, set up a tent and started camping on your piece of property, you wouldn't put up with that. You wouldn't allow it. But yet we allow the thief to steal so much from us. It doesn't belong to his. You don't need to be charitable to him. So that land belonged to Israel. And we know the story. They came up to the land and they went, sent some spies over. And Joshua and Caleb were part of the spies. They went out. They looked at the land that was their promise that God had given to them. And many came back with an evil report. And they said, man, the land's full of giants and this and that and big cities and armies. And we can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, man, but look at the grapes. Look at the vineyards. Look at the milk and honey. It's everything that God said it was. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Yeah, there might be somebody squatting on it. There might be somebody living there, somebody who's temporarily caretaking it for us. But they said, we are more than able. Why were they more than able? Not by might, not by power, but by the promise. Because that land was given to them by God, that enemy was no match for them. And you tonight, as a possessor of all things, that enemy is no match for you. You are more than able. But because the people didn't believe that promise was for them, they missed out. Amen? They allowed the thief to keep a hold of what belonged to them. And we know what happened, right? They went in the wilderness and they all died except for the ones that believed the promise. They received it eventually, according to their faith. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Possessing all things, I just want to continue in this message a little bit. Paragraph 98, he says, every sin and wickedness that has been put under my feet, has been put under my feet by the grace of Jesus Christ. He rose on Easter morning, triumphed over the death, hell, and grave, made me an heir. Made you an heir tonight. He said, wait yonder and I'll give you the promise. And his anointed authoritative servant said, the promise is unto you and to your children. What's, he's talking about the day of Pentecost, right? He says, wait there for the promise. Peter stood up. The anointed authoritative servant said, the promise is to you and your children. To them that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, I'm an heir. Amen. Amen. Say that tonight with me. I'm an heir. Now, if you're an heir, did you do anything to deserve that? When you inherit something from a parent, you didn't do anything except you were born into that family. You were born in and you drove them crazy. And they wrote you in their will. Made you an heir. All you did was let them take care of you. Raise you up. Amen? You didn't do anything for it. You didn't earn it. But yet you're an heir. And all the law of the land will stand behind you. Amen. Look at what he says. He says, I'm an heir. Amen. Jesus proved it to us on his resurrection. When we've entered that battleground between death and life, you say, I'm a sinner, Brother Branham. You don't have to be. You're a sinner because you desire to be. You don't have to be. The debt's already been paid. So, well, that just applies to salvation. Well, look further. He says, Brother Branham, I wish I had joy. Does that apply to anybody here tonight? Have you lost your joy? You saying, I wish I had more joy in my life. I wish I had the joy of the Lord in my life. I have let the enemy steal that from me. Maybe he's done it little by little, bit by bit, day by day, piece by piece. But he's done it nonetheless. You don't have to put up with it. You can stop it here tonight. Brother Branham, I wish I had joy. You can have it, he says. You're just letting Satan rob you from the privileges that Christ died for. It's the same with healing. You can have it tonight. He might have stole it from you piece by piece. But it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to you. Same with peace. Amen? He might have done it just by heaping this little worry and that little worry and this little memory and what about the future over here? And slowly, he steals away your peace. You don't have to put up with that tonight. He says, I'm an heir to it. It's all mine. Everything he died for belongs to me and belongs to you. We're his children. We're heirs of it. Everything he died for. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Everything that he died for. He has made us an heir of all things. Amen. That's why this message that we're reading from tonight is possessing all things. In paragraph 107, he says, Brother Branham, are you worthy of that? No. You think I'm worthy? No. Do you think the bishop's worthy? No. Is there ever a man worthy? No. Well, why? You're an heir. Nobody's worthy. Why are you worried about it? Guess what? Satan's not worthy of it either. And yet you let him take it. If you was the biggest drunkard in the world, and your father left you $1 million, whether you're worthy or not, you're the heir of your father's heritage. Whatever he left you, it's yours. Whether you're worthy or not, he left it to you. Amen. I was a sinner, but now I'm an heir. I was no good, not yet, but still I'm an heir. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we're going to get some victory here tonight. He says, I should die and go to hell, but I'm an heir. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm an heir of what? Eternal life. How do you know you're going to get it? He says, I feel it. The Holy Spirit brought it. Jesus rose from the dead so it could come. Yeah. And now it's come and it bears record and vindicates just exactly what it said it would do. I've passed from death to life. I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then I'm an heir. Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah. Where are the heirs of all things tonight? Amen. Who's going to stand up and say, I'm going to take what belongs to me? Not because I deserved it or I'm worthy of it, but because he was worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Paragraph 86, he says, now they could probe around on that, but yet I'm an heir to that too. He's talking about everything in the unseen. He says everything physical. then I'm also an heir to things that can't be seen, where science can't probe. Amen. Unseen things. Amen. I'm an heir to that. Yes, sir. The things that can be seen, I'm an heir to that. This actual earth, I'm an heir. You're an heir. This earth belongs to us. Every believer is an heir to it. That's right. Then the unseen, a possessor of what? Heavens and earth. Amen. All things. You believe that? You believe that? You say, Brother Branham, what about out there where you can't see? How do you know? It's still mine. That's right. Heaven belongs to me. Glad it's mine. God said so. That's right. Well, you've never seen. How do you know it's there? I know it's there anyhow. God said. How do you know you're an heir to it when you've never seen it? I believe His word. See, I'm an heir. You're an heir with me, and we're heirs together through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Conflict between God and Satan, paragraph 12. He says, here's what it was. I might pass it on to you for just a minute. I was talking about we are possessors of all things. Everything is ours. They say that we're a crazy bunch, you know. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Satan's going to try and convince you that you're not an heir. And this is one of the ways he'll do it. He'll use people to say you're crazy. Why are you confessing that promise? Why are you confessing against every circumstance that you can see, yet you're confessing God's word? Amen? Because I'm an heir. Because it's mine. I possess it. I believe it. He says, they say we are a crazy bunch, you know, but yet after all that, after all, it all belongs to us, see? That's the reason we act a little funny, you see? We're heirs of all things. Amen. That's the reason we can have a little victory. Amen. People might say, oh, you act a little funny. You shout and praise and worship God. Amen. Where's that come from? It comes from victory. Amen. It comes from a revelation that I am heir of all things. I'm a possessor of heaven and earth. He says, that's the reason we act funny, because we're heir of all things. Amen. And brother, sister, when you own everything, you don't care what anybody else thinks. Amen. I don't care what that old stinking devil thinks tonight, because I'm an heir of all things. He's got things that don't belong to him, and he will not keep the hold of them. It's going to slip right through his fingers. As we were saying this morning, he can't do nothing that's permanent. Amen. He cannot stop this bride. He cannot stop this word. He cannot stop God's plan. Amen. The best he can hope to do is try and slow it down for a while. But even that is working right according to God's timetable. He's a tool in God's hand. Hallelujah. We act a little funny. Amen. I'm an heir of all things. What have I got to be worried about? They say, oh, you should be concerned about this. You should be worried about that. Doesn't this, you know, if you don't worry, who's going to worry? Well, maybe I'll just act a little funny and not worry about it. Amen. It all belongs to me. Hallelujah. He says, I was thinking, we possess love, joy, courage. Amen. Courage. You are a courageous warrior now. You say, I don't feel very courageous. Amen. Maybe this type of preaching scares you, because you begin to think about confronting the devil and you kind of get hunch back a little bit. Well, guess what? Courage belongs to you. Amen. There's courage for you tonight. There's courage to stand up to the devil. He's tried to steal that from you too. He says, I was thinking we possess love, joy, courage. We possess faith and long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness. He's just listed off a whole bunch of things, brother, sister. Amen. My question tonight to you is, what has he stolen from you? Amen. Has he stolen your love? Has he stolen joy? Has he stolen courage? Has he stolen faith? Eroded it? Has he stolen from you long-suffering and gentleness and patience? Has he convinced you that you have no faith? Has he convinced you that your faith is not strong enough to be an overcomer? Has he convinced you your faith is not strong enough for a miracle or for divine healing or to save your children? Has he convinced you that you don't have what it takes? Because I've said this before, sometimes we attempt to have faith in our own faith. Amen. We're trying so hard to have faith. You just got to confront the enemy and tell him to give it back. Long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness. He says, you couldn't buy that with no kind of money. He says, go down and buy me a quarter's worth of patience. See, you couldn't do it. But yet God gives us that. We possess that. That's yours tonight. Faith is a promise tonight. If you feel like you're lacking faith, take a hold of that. That's our possession. Then buy us a little faith. We'd be willing. Give all we had for a little faith, you see? But it's give to us. Everything is free coming from the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. So just as Joshua brought back the evidence, he went into the land of promise. And he brought back evidence that he had been there. Amen. Amen? Those that have traveled to other countries and traveled overseas. Have you ever guys ever heard the term pix or it didn't happen? You ever heard that? Somebody claims, well, we did this. Really? Where are the pictures? Pictures or it didn't happen. Right? Pix or it didn't happen. When we travel overseas into other countries, go far places, we bring back some evidence. Look, here's me. Here's a picture of me with this little Burmese fellow. Right? Amen. It proves I was there. You wouldn't know otherwise. You'd take my word for it. Right? But I've got some evidence that I was there. Joshua and Caleb went and they brought back some evidence. They brought back a taste of the grapes of the land. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. They brought back some divine healing with them. They brought back some joy. They brought back some stimulation of revelation. They brought back some of that new wine of the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They said, here, just taste it. If you don't believe me, just taste it. Amen. Jesus, our Joshua, went across the river, brother, sister. And he brought back the earnest, the proof, the evidence through the resurrection and by his Holy Spirit. He brings back the evidence of what he promised us. The blessing of the Holy Spirit puts you in line for every single promise. Because you have the evidence that he crossed over and went and possessed that land. Every redemptive blessing now belongs to us. Everything that Satan stole in the beginning has been restored through the cross. We just have to take advantage of it. We have to stop letting the thief take it from us. It belongs to us. Joshua said, let us take it at once. Why are we even here talking about it? Why are we even here discussing it? Why are we debating this? We should take it at once. We're here. God has given it to us. What does hinder us? That's what I say to you tonight. What hinders you tonight? Everything Satan has stolen from you still belongs to you. It's still yours. And God has appropriated the blood of the cross so you can go and possess it back. But you've got to take it. You've got to fight him and take it. We shouldn't be afraid to lay our faith down on the promise, on the word of God, and face down that enemy. He will back down. He has to back down. He is nothing but a bluff. He has no teeth. He has no ability to fight back. All he can do is talk. All he can do is try and get you to stop fighting. He has nothing to fight back with. Let me just read you this one more statement here and we'll close. Possessing all things. Paragraph 94. It was him sitting on the bench down there the other day when Satan seen a chance to kill me. But he couldn't do it. Amen? He'll never do it until Christ says it's ready. Amen? Satan thought he was going to kill God's prophet, but he can't do it. He says he'll never do it until Christ says it's ready. Do you know that that's true for you?
Yes.
Satan wants to kill you. He would if he could, but he can't until Christ says it's time.
Right.
And when Christ says it's time, that's the time we want to go.
Amen.
He'll never do it until Christ says it's ready. He couldn't touch Job until God said so. Amen. No matter how many times he comes, he'll go back empty-handed until Christ gives an order. Amen. A promise. God promised it. It's God's word that promises it, and we believe it because we're heir. I'm an heir to divine healing. Say that with me tonight. I'm an heir to divine healing. I'm an heir to divine healing. Not natural healing. Let me make a distinction here. If you look in the message, Brother Branham talks about healing. He mostly talks about it in this term, divine healing. We think, we've been taught, and rightfully so, that healing is a process and that a miracle is instant and healing is a process, right? But there's healing according to natural laws and natural things, and then there's divine healing. We are an heir to divine healing. We don't even have to wait for just a natural process. We are an heir to divine healing. That is God interrupting the force of nature and bringing you your healing to your body. After all, isn't that what he did to your soul? Amen. Divine salvation to your soul. It's the same thing. Amen. He says, I'm an heir of joy. Now look at this statement. Many of us would hesitate to even say these words. It shows you how we've let the enemy steal from us. I'm an heir to joy. I got a right to be happy. I know we've done this a lot, but please say that tonight. I've got a right to be happy. Do you believe that? He says, so what makes you so happy? I got a right to be. How do you know? Because I'm an heir to it. Amen. He says, woo, I feel religious. Yes. I'm an heir to happiness. I'm an heir to joy. I'm an heir to peace. I'm an heir to eternal life. I'm an heir to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm an heir to every evidence that it's got. I'm an heir to the authority of God. Amen. Who made you that? Not me. He did. And every one of you is an heir to the same thing. Amen. Stand tonight. Oh, hallelujah. You are an heir to the same thing tonight. That thief is a bluff, brother, sister. He's tried to convince you successfully at times that it doesn't belong to you. That really it was his all along. And he's just going to take that and you should just forget about it. You should forget about ever being happy. But you've got a right to be happy.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the prophet said.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's just bow our heads tonight. Every one of us is an heir to the same thing tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, how we love you tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, our worship is for you and you alone tonight, Lord. Oh, I come against that lying thief tonight that would try and steal the joy from your people, Lord. Satan, I rebuke you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every spirit of sickness in this building tonight. I rebuke every spirit that would try and steal joy and happiness. I rebuke every spirit tonight that would try and steal the peace of God from his children tonight. That would try and oppress them and put worry on them and make them fret. I rebuke every spirit tonight of unbelief. I rebuke every thieving, lying spirit of Satan tonight. You have no place in the people of the living God. Give way, demons of hell. Set this people free tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, I pray that you just move in the building tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus, just pour out all your spirit on us, Lord. Oh God, come and lift us up into heavenly places, Lord. Oh Jesus, as we just surrender to you right now, Lord. We acknowledge you as God and King, Lord. Oh, but we're your children, Lord. Oh Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for every victory, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's just worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Shake off those old shackles that the enemy has tried to place on you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you come and restore faith tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray you come and restore families, Lord. Lord Jesus, for your children, Lord, that have gotten weary in holding on to that promise, Lord. Come and renew their vision tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. They're holding out the token for their loved ones, Father. Father, I pray you come and anoint that faith tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Lord. You're so wonderful, oh God. You're so wonderful, Lord. You're my God, my King. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, let's just worship him tonight. Just in your own way, brother, sister. Just lift him up. Come against that old devil. Don't let him steal what belongs to you. Hallelujah. Don't let him take this moment from you. The waters are troubled. The anointing is here. The angels of God are round about, ready to make good on every promise. Don't let the enemy steal this moment from you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Set the captive free tonight, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Bind every working of the enemy tonight, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Just lay at his feet tonight, brother, sister. His word is still true. The promise belongs to you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Just lift your hands to him tonight as we sing. Hallelujah. Amen. Our peace tonight. He is our hallelujah. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. Yes, Lord, you are my peace tonight. Hallelujah. Let's cast our cares before him tonight. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is our peace. Brother, sister, you have an opportunity here tonight. Amen. Don't let it slip away tonight. Amen. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Amen. Fight back against that old enemy. Take back what the enemy's stolen from you tonight. Don't back down. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that little chorus. He's in the house tonight. Amen. He's here tonight, brother, sister. Amen. Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's own. He had come to steal her life. He took her by the hand. Oh, hallelujah. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began.